from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. It is a glorious day in Pittsburgh because the Pirates are trying to win this year. And we get to acknowledge that, celebrate that, and talk about that over the next 4 hours with you. Chris Muller across from me, Donnie Football on the ones and twos, and then he will pull an Ernie Banks and host after us tonight, leading you into Pirates baseball, the leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli, who had a spirited debate with Paul Zeiss in the last hour about these deadline moves. We have some highlights from that. Malzy, I was wrong about Ben Cherington. I'm going to start right there. We heard Noah Hyles tell us, the Pirates beat man on Monday, that Ben Cherington was trying to make the perfect trades, and I scoffed at that. I said, you're trying to be too cute. You're trying to have it your way like it's friggin' Burger King. Doesn't work that way. You can't rip off everybody you come across in trades. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think he made the perfect trades. He made the kind of trades he wanted to make. He stuck to his guns. He played the waiting game. Tom Petty said the waiting is the hardest part. He waited everybody out. He smoked them out at 5:30 yesterday and made trades for guys to help this team without giving up very much. So I'm now a Ben Cherington fan. I think his plan worked out brilliantly. I doubted it. I was actually angry at it. And the patience of Job
paid off. Job.
He showed why he was a World Series winning general manager in my book yesterday.
I think my feeling is still initially pretty unchanged. I'm excited that they did things because I bought into what he was saying or read between the lines that he really was going to do very little to nothing to help this team. I sort of bought into some of the narrative swirling. Did they even really want to contend this year? Were they kind of worried about their pitchers?
How about rhetoric? Did you fall victim to rhetoric?
Oh, the rhetoric, too. The rhetoric. You would talk about the waiting is the hardest part. Falling victim to the rhetoric is the easiest part. It's so easy to get caught up in a rhetoric hurricane. But I still think it is just very encouraging to see that he and they as a front office, ownership, everybody who has to sign off to make basically any trade happen, understand that they can't just fritter away what they have done so far, which has not been great. They still have a slightly negative run differential. They are a team with warts, for sure, but they knew they couldn't just sit here and stand pat. Now, having said that, the initial afterglow is still there. I'm still very excited that they just added, I think, especially in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, like a guy who's going to really help them defensively. I do have
why not more, offensively?
Well, I think he's offensively,
almost a 300 hitter.
He's having a career year, so this is where I get to like me starting to actually analyze the moves now and just move beyond. Hey, awesome! They did something broadly. De La Cruz is a 1.5 trick pony. Trick number one, hit ball over fence. Trick number two, which counts for half as much because it's half as many total bases, hit doubles. He does nothing else well. That is a fact. Strikes out a lot, doesn't hit for average, doesn't get on base, is a mediocre defender, but he hits taters. So, like, I think you have to be, like, sober in your analysis of him. He is an upgrade, to be sure, but that says as much about him as it does about the Pirates lineup that he is entering. He also, I was doing some digging on the advanced numbers, and I know you love it when Malzy goes deep
on
the numbers.
What time did that take place? Was that an in-bed at midnight last night? Let's dig into the advanced numbers.
I was working on something else at midnight. I was looking at shocking sports moments. No, I wasn't.
It is Alex's birthday.
It is her birthday.
Congratulations on all her success. I thought maybe there was romance in the air.
No,
you were
instead digging into
advanced numbers.
Yes, because Lennox is always calling her to go, like, Mom, can you come and sleep in my room? Like,
nothing says I love you and I cherish you like digging into numbers the night of
your
wife's birthday.
So here's one thing I worry about with De La Cruz, just a little legitimate worry. He has good power, but I think he will be sapped a little by PNC Park, which is a notorious cavern for right-handed hitters. He does not have what I would call Aaron Judge power, where you look at the home runs he's hit and they're going out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a little caveat I think should be mentioned about him. You might see more doubles or unfortunately flyouts than you otherwise would. They actually, you know what they can do here, right? They take his number of home runs and they say if he played in these ballparks, how many would he have based on where the balls were
hit? What did the advanced numbers say?
Four fewer home runs at PNC Park.
Okay, so he goes from 18 to 14. That's still one of the higher totals.
But it is something to keep in mind.
Okay, but you gave
that's
up
one thing.
A guy in the rookie league that has not pitched
all year. It's a good trade. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to now do my actual expectations. Kiner Falefa, I think, is somebody that is going to be, and this is where I'm more positive, his defense, I don't think we can look past this. His defense for a team that is built around its pitching and the fact that he could plug in and be a plus defender at multiple places on the field cannot go unnoticed. I know everyone's looking at the fact that he's having a career year, myself included. I'm more than anything excited that the guy is going to be able to literally spackle over whatever hole they might have in the lineup, probably hit pretty well, all things considered, and then be a plus defender. You put him in or you move him over based on like maybe holding a late inning lead, you move him somewhere. You feel like you've gotten better.
That's the move where I thought Charrington really earned his paycheck because we studied this because it's our livelihood, but also because we're obsessed with a big calendar date. It's the trade deadline. I mean, we look at the trade deadline like it's bigger than an actual game that's played on the field. Are you going to win the deadline and help this team and make them better?
Mm-hmm.
And even in early June, we're talking about trades. I mean, it really consumes your life if you're into this stuff. I didn't think Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was available. We didn't even really bring his name up. He had another year on his contract. It's not like the Blue Jays are in total rebuild mode. So I think this goes back to relationship building. Ben Charrington was in Toronto before he was here. I think he knew this guy was available. I think that because of the friendships and everything else that he's acquired there that made this deal possible. Because if you look at WAR, what is it good for? Well, it's supposed to be, according to the sabermetricians, the best way to measure baseball players and their performance in this era, because it takes everything into account, not just batting average, not just home runs, but also how they run
defense,
the bases, how they field everything. And he was the best hitter, the best position player that was acquired, better than Jazz Chisholm, better than, you name it, Jesse Winker, Lane Thomas, all these other
names.
He had
the same WAR as Brian Reynolds.
Yes.
It's Brian Reynolds, at least in terms of WAR, acquired, you know, and he goes about it differently, but you acquired Brian Reynolds by WAR this year.
And the Pirates got him for a guy who, up until yesterday, no one cared about. Charles McAdoo.
But as soon as people read three paragraphs about him, they cared deeply that he had been sent away.
I'm a convert now. I looked at Ben Charrington as someone that didn't want to pull the trigger on a deal, was hoarding prospects, was looking down the road, was gun-shy and nervous that he was going to make a mistake that he was going to regret in a couple years. He made this team better. He didn't mortgage anything to make it possible. He put them in a good position both this year and next year, too. Hey, call up Oakmont Bakery. He got his cake and he can eat it, too. With this deadline, He made the perfect trades, and I didn't honestly think he was capable of that, Chris. I feel like they have a good steward of the organization now, and I wouldn't have said that. I didn't say that to you 24 hours ago.
I'm surprised he was able, in the case of Kiner Falefa, to find a player that really could wear about six different hats for them. Because they had more holes than I think they knew what to do with. We said two bats, and they got two position players, obviously. And I can't forget about Beeks. Cannot forget about Beeks.
Ben Cherington make Jalen Beeks out to be their next
They have teak. To like, well, wait. I'm going to go back
You're
to
loving
something.
Loving himself
Zang,
some Beeks.
I'm going to go back to something Zangrilli said. He talked about pitch values yesterday with, like, when he was talking about the Pirates making a trade maybe involving one of their major league players, which we know they didn't do. They must love a pitch that this guy throws. But anyway, in Kiner Falefa, not only, like you said, are you getting a player who nobody even talked about or knew was available, he literally, it's like getting three players in one, because given whatever day it is or whatever lineup you're, or pitcher you're facing, you can plug him into different spots, which I love.
He's a super utility guy.
He's Josh Harrison.
He's Josh Harrison all over again in his prime year of 2014.
And Josh Harrison was literally probably the most popular Pirate pound for pound
Chris,
on that team.
I mean, I'm not someone...
They're a better baseball team than they were this time
yesterday.
Yes, and
that's why I've
possibly considerably.
And that is why I've changed my mind about them. That simple request that we had, make the team better.
So this is more about like the big picture for you, it sounds like, than it is they made two moves like
this or
three
moves. I have more confidence and faith in the organization writ large now than I did before 5:15 yesterday.
They're not going to screw this up, or maybe not that, but they're not going to just stand idly by now. You have faith that they understand the assignment more than
you
did before.
I was very concerned that Dan had pointed out to us that this year sneaked up on them. I'd heard bonus year terminology like that about 2024.
Yep.
They rose to the occasion as an organization.
He did well yesterday. I don't want to say very well because that would be like A+, but he did well yesterday.
So
no
you've
doubt.
Got it doesn't look like Skeens is going to get shut down now. I've got Jared Jones after a bullpen session last night
Bleeping
saying
electric.
I was effing electric. I'm fired up for this team.
By the way, this is like the sidebar where I feel like now I'm the goofy face dragon. You had a guy who's like, what, your fourth starter maybe, go out last night against a good lineup, a team that
pitch
can hit.
Pitch his nuts off.
And yeah, battle his ass off and pitch well. And you had freaking Michael A. Taylor, here we go.
Yep.
Hits another bomb way up into
maybe
that
Maybe he's Rowdy Tellez
wall.
Again.
Listen, at the bare minimum for a team, because this is the other part about getting De La Cruz, the four teams behind the Pirates in home runs for this year are all sellers at the deadline. The Pirates have the least punch. If you get Michael Taylor just for the rest of the season hitting on the home run pace he had last year, their offense becomes a lot more power-packed.
Donnie, how can you not be romantic about the Pirates right now?
I mean, there's no reason not to be. Like, I came on last night and I
Sleepy
told you guys.
Ben woke up like the Undertaker.
Yes, he did.
he sat up.
I said he sat up like the Undertaker at about 5 p.m. and just started taking guys out. He did it. I had to applaud what he pulled off in the final 60 minutes yesterday. I mean, obviously, those deals were happening, I'm sure, over the course of multiple hours, but to us they all kind of happened in that last hour or 30 minutes of the trade deadline. And I was never really worried going in, because this is always everyone's biggest worry. It's Bob Nutting, it's his checkbook, he's too cheap. I was never really worried about that, because even though that's just what people want to throw the excuse on, we saw examples of 10 years ago, give or take, when the Pirates were in the conversation, Neil Huntington went out and got things done.
Yes.
That tells me that Bob Nutting was in full support of that happening.
I do wanna make a distinction between Cherington and Huntington when we come back, where I do give Cherington even more credit than I would give Huntington in a situation like this. Because I think Ben did something yesterday that Huntington would not have done. And it would have changed our entire opinion about what happened.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
At the deadline.
One guarantee at the deadline is that teams are going to call on relievers. It's just kind of the nature of the game. We did get a lot of calls. There was certainly a healthy amount of interest. I think when we looked at the whole thing, looked at our team in 24 in particular, with the way we're built, if we're trying to give ourselves every chance here the next 2 months, which we are, we know, even though we believe we improved the team overall, we believe we have a deeper position player group than we did 2 days ago, still know that we're going to have to probably win some games in the bullpen and win our fair share of the closer games, and felt pretty strongly we were going to be real careful about doing anything that would hurt our bullpen in any way.
First chapter of Camp Chronicles from Latrobe in about 15 minutes.
Like Chronicles of Narnia?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Chronicles of Riddick?
In a fight involving Steelers offensive linemen and linebackers that caused a melee, a brouhaha today.
A fracas.
Yep. We have boots on the ground there. We will give you an update on all that. Right now we're talking about Pirates positivity and a great day for Pirates baseball, as Joe Block would say, yesterday, with the deals that got made, the reaction to them driving home. I heard nothing but positive spin from not Donnie necessarily, but even the callers couldn't find a bad word to say about the moves by the Bucks. We'll get to calls.
People gassed themselves up, Pony, into thinking nothing was going to happen. And when it did, it was elation.
412-928-9370 to join Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Ben Cherington repeated after the deadline that he could have traded Aroldis Chapman and he could have gotten probably a lot for Aroldis Chapman. And Donnie was saying Neil Huntington would go for it. I'm telling you right now, Huntington would have traded Chapman because he would have looked at it as an expiring deal with value and he would have been able to replenish their organization. In addition to Beeks, he probably would have found a cheaper, less effective reliever to try to make up for the loss of Chapman. He would have gone with a committee approach to that job because he wouldn't have been able to help himself. And I have proof with that because of the Melanson and Watson deals in back-to-back years when they were still in contention. He traded Watson and he said, well, this is not going to go over well, so I need to go find Joaquin Benoit to take his spot on this team.
And that was like a balm that healed all wounds, yeah, Joaquin Benoit.
Right, so I think that I think Cherington deserves credit too for being like, I have a guy on an expiring deal who is unlikely to resign here because of how expensive he is, but I want to ride it out for the next 50 games with him, which I think is also evidence that they're not going to shut guys down.
You keep Aroldis Chapman because you think you're going to be playing meaningful games where you need a lefty who can throw 100.
Yeah, and he's not naive enough to think if he shuts down Skeens and Jones only comes back in a super reduced role that this team is going to be able to make up ground with their schedule to make the playoffs.
No, I think what they're going to try to do is probably go do what people thought they might, which is a six-man rotation. They're going to occasionally try to stretch it out a little bit. They're going to throw an extra pitcher in there. They probably have the pitching depth still to do something like that. But bottom line is the Chapman thing, the way they acted otherwise, who they acquired, all of it pointed back to, no, we get it. We could really actually make the playoffs and make noise, and we're going to try to do that. All of our decisions will actually be focused on that, which, to his credit, I'll give Charrington credit. He would say stuff like that in the run-up to the deadline, Pony. Our goal is to help this team this year. And he would talk about being like a responsible steward for next year. And be honest, didn't you hear stuff like that and say, yeah, the first part of that I'm chucking out the window. What he really cares about is the second part of the statement. He cared about the first part and he acted like it.
And it was also helpful that it didn't conflict with the second part of it either. He was able to accomplish both.
But nobody traded a top 100 prospect. So he was working within the same framework other GMs were.
Here is John on the Pirates' deadline moves. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How are y'all doing?
John, you sound like Eeyore. These moves did not excite you?
No, I'm really excited. I'm actually elated.
I don't want to hear you when you're mad or sad about something, man, because I think I might be that
I'm not hearing elation. I'm hearing a downtrodden genre.
John, are you just a low-key guy?
It's a day later, you know. I got to keep the perspective. But here's the big thing. You know, I'm happy with what the Pirates did, and I went through a series of emotions leading into the deadline, I'm sure like everybody else did.
Yep.
And I just want to say that they did the right thing. And, you know, because the emotions that I experienced leading into the deadline and the trades is almost parallel to my experience, you know, through the years as a Pirate fan. And it started in 79. I'm watching, you know, Tecol being a Pirate, and he was my hero. You know, and I never forgot the way that made me feel. And then when the early 90s came and Leland was the coach, you know, and I remember how great it felt.
So you got a little tinge of the 90s or of 79 right now. You have a little of that old excitement, right?
Well, I'm leading into my point. So, and then obviously we've dealt with the agony of defeat.
Yep.
And now all these years later, you know, when you take in those two elements, those two variables, and you tie them into this trade deadline, that's how it felt. When they made them trades, I felt like I felt as a kid in 79. And it made me believe again.
It made you believe again. How about that? The magic, the sorcery of Ben Charrington has John and Charleroi, who sounded
like he was like ready to go to the therapist's couch.
Sounded like he was doing a Belichick impression. I'm elated. I'm absolutely over the moon right now.
He was, you know what? He was very complex in his articulation.
I thought his points were good, but he didn't. His voice, his tone did not match how he felt. I'm on cloud nine right now, guys.
I've never been happier. This team made me feel like I did when I was a kid again, and I would build ships in a bottle for fun.
By the way, I'm dating one right now.
That is so weird, dude.
Here is Kyle next. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Kyle, are you a little bit more excited in your voice than the last guy?
You know, so I live in Jersey, and I'm stuck between the Yankees and the Mets.
On all your success.
Yeah, well, I love paying the taxes. But the Pirates finally did something. I think the fan base has got to be happy. It's like you have the new hot girlfriend with schemes. They're making some moves, and I just really hope that they're in it for this year and for next year too with these trades.
Well, wait a minute. I really hope they're in it for this year. What could they do to make you think they're not in it for this year now after these trades?
If they shut Paul Skeens down.
Well, what would be the scenario where they'd shut Paul Skeens down? They lose like 12 games in a row?
Yeah.
Because if they lose 12 games in a row, I got bad news for you. They will be out of the race.
Well, and then it would be justifiable if they did it.
That's what I mean. If they stay in the race and they're within probably, I think, four games maybe, right at the start of September, he's going to keep pitching.
Do you think it'll be a six-man rotation going forward?
I think in part, not all. I think not all the way home, but I think in certain situations,
times, yes.
And for the most part, they have the pitching depth. Now, it's not on full display tonight with Jake Woodford reserve on the mound, but
you can go Skeens, Jones when he gets back, Keller, Ortiz, Falter. Gonzalez can still go out there and at least try to give you innings. And then you hope your bullpen's fresher.
I'm still
going
back to John, who said, these moves made me a believer again.
It's time for another chapter in the PM Team's Camp Chronicles.
hell is this?
It's time for Chronicles.
What is this? This isn't Chronicles music?
Oh, yes, it is. This is what I think of when I think of Chronicles. It's like story time with Mother Goose.
It's like Sound of Music, kind of.
Perfect.
That's not Chronicles.
What kind of music would you prefer here, Chris?
Like Lord of the Rings stuff.
I think it's got a nice chipper beat to it.
I feel like it's almost like a jaunty little number where somebody'd be dancing around a city. It's like a Gene Kelly number.
Don, you like it?
Has me elated.
It could also be like an alternative intro song for Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What's wrong with that? You like that show.
It is funny.
Training camp coverage is presented by Smail Kia and brought to you by Guardians Caps, also Armstrong Business Business Solutions. You hear him weekends on The Fan. He is the grandson of the great Bill Hillgrove, doing tremendous work for us, was our official timekeeper at The Fan inaugural hot dog eating contest, and he was there today, Jeff Hathorne, off at the opening of pit camp. So Jack Hillgrove there in the flesh, St. Vincent College today. All right, Jack, your grandfather's one of the greatest play-by-play men of all time. Give us the play-by-play of what happened during the fight. Who started it? Who got the best hits in? Who was the most pissed off? What happened?
Well, guys, thanks for having me on. I'm really appreciated. So admittedly, I was on the other end of the field when it ensued, and it was one of those situations where you see something go down and you work your tail off to get down there and see the best of it. Apparently, what had happened was Justin Fields was brought down in a way by a Landon Roberts that I don't think rookie offensive guard Mason McCormick particularly liked very much. Mm. And McCormick decided to let the veteran inside linebacker know that it pissed him off, and one thing led to another, and McCormick at one point, I believe, was in the face and getting physical with both E-Rob and Patrick Queen, which out of a fourth-round draft choice offensive lineman from South Dakota State, I absolutely love. No fear, standing up for the quarterback and getting in the face of two pretty intimidating dudes. And Roberts and Queen.
Did he get the best of them physically? Like, I want to know, if there was a brouhaha, who was ragdolling people around out there, Jack?
I think it was 50-50. I think some people will tell you that McCormick got the best of them. I think some people will tell you that Roberts got the best of them. But after practice, I mean, both we talked to Landon Roberts after practice, and he kind of had a smile on his face when it was brought up. I mean, they were all okay about it afterwards, and some of them even were kind of glad it ensued because they gave us the whole runaround of iron sharpening iron.
Well, Tomlin had the black Air Force Ones on today, and apparently that means it's business time at camp when he puts the black Air Force Ones on.
Yeah, Nick Herbig was asked if the black Air Force Ones had anything to do with the scrum today, and he kind of brushed that off.
Who asked that question? Was that you?
No, it was not me.
Oh. Was it Dale Lally?
It was not Dale Lally.
Damn it. I'm out of guesses. Was it Kabali?
Was it Nick Faribault?
No.
Are you going to make us wait and guess the right answer, or are you going to tell us?
I'm pretty sure it was Brooke Pryor.
Oh.
All right, Brooke. Getting to the real in-depth stuff today. All right, what's going on with Russell Wilson, Jack? You've been at camp most days. You know, we got a report from you like, as soon as the pads go on, he's going to be back out there, nothing to worry about. What is the participation level right now of the perceived Steelers starting quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday he got like 7 or 8 reps in 7-on-7 where he actually threw the ball, and he completed every one. But it was the same thing today in 11-on-11 as it's been. Anytime he's in there under center for anything 11-on-11 related, he's just handing the ball off and then coming out. And anytime a passing play gets underway, it's somebody else. It's usually Fields or it's Kyle Allen. I'm not concerned about it yet. I think they truly are erring on the side of caution, and Mike Tomlin has told us on several occasions that it has a lot to do with them getting to know and understand Russell better when it comes to, you know, when he's dealing with something that might be nagging them or nagging him. So I think they're just really erring on the side of caution when it comes to Wilson. But at the same time, I mean, I'd love to see him get out there and be a full participant as opposed to just, you know, handing the ball off and participating here and there when it comes to 7-on-7.
Jack, who had the better of play today, offense or defense, with the pads on and things popping off?
It was both on good on both sides, I should say. I mean, one of the guys that really stuck out to me was Beanie Bishop defensively. Defensive back one-on-ones with the receivers.
He is making a name for himself, Jack.
I mean, Beanie Bishop. And I think there's a lot of merit to it, Pony. I mean, any time that George Pickens went in there for a one-on-one, Grady Brown, the defensive backs coach, was sending Beanie Bishop in there to face off against Pickens.
How about
and he
that?
Held his own. And wow. There was a play where Pickens went up and made a catch, but he came down and didn't survive the ground, and it was incomplete. And I think the only reason why Pickens was able to catch the ball is because there's, you know, 5-6 inches of height differential there. But Bishop was with him every step of the way. And look, I wouldn't get it twisted. I think Beanie Bishop is the slot corner. I mean, Josiah Scott was released. I think Bishop is really the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to who is going to be getting the bulk of the reps at slot corner with the first team. It's been him. And I think he's made a serious case for it. He's played really well.
Damn. How about the rookies on the offensive line? Another day for Fautanu and Zach Frazier, who everyone just expects to be the Steelers' starting corner. Starting center, excuse me. Is he showing why he will be that guy right now, Jack?
They're doing the typical runaround, Pony, with the rookies and not barely giving them any reps with the first team at this point. Like, Fayamalu had the day off, Veterans Day off today, right? And Spencer Anderson, the seventh-round pick from a couple of years ago, was getting the reps at first team at left guard. I would have to imagine that that's why they drafted Mason McCormick. I would love to see Mason McCormick get those reps when a guy like Fayamalu or even James Daniels has a day off, but we know that's not going to happen. Zach Frazier has barely gotten any reps with the first team. I haven't seen any. And I think there might be a little bit more of a competition there at center than we're led to believe on. Like, if you had to give me or if I had to give you a chance of which rookies are going to start week one on the offensive line, if I had to rate Fautanu's chances, I'd probably say 7.5, 8 out of 10 that he's the first week one probably right tackle. Zach Frazier being the week one center, based off of what I've seen and the reps that he's gotten, I would maybe rate that at a 3 or 4.
I heard he was getting...
This is amazing stuff from Hillgrove.
Jack, can you confirm Frazier was
this
getting beat up in one-on-ones? Because I'm seeing tweets out there that he was getting beat pretty badly by bull rushes in the one-on-one drills.
Yeah, I did not see those today. I was watching the wide receivers and the defensive backs.
And the fights,
yes.
Jack, thank you for being a part of Camp Chronicles.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, you guys. It was fun.
There you go.
The plot thickens at camp.
Move over, kaboom. Here comes Hillgrove with just massive takes.
If I were rating the chances on a 1 to 10 scale, you know I'm a sucker for 1 to 10 scales.
Oh, I love it. And we didn't even have to bring it up.
No, it was
just... He volunteered his own scale.
Right. He's like Crash Holly. He brought his own scale. Super heavyweight reporting there from Jack Hillgrove.
Don, you think his grandfather and his mentor, Lanny Fratteri, would have liked the performance there from Jack?
I think they would have.
He didn't say unbelievable one time.
Bring it over the end.
He didn't say unbelievable one time. He was very verbose and measured.
Yeah, you can't be tossing around unbelievables. That
and then Mason McCormick stood up to a Landon Roberts. It was unbelievable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.